At this time, what we would like to do is to call the teachers, the adult teachers and the young people teachers. We will ask each of them to come forward and to give us just a brief resume as to what their class is going to consist of this week. First, we would like to call on our brother Frank Welsman. Brother Welsman will be teaching in period one. At this time, we would like to ask our brother Welsman to come forth and tell us a little bit about his class. Brother Frank.
Brethren and sisters, I didn't know I was going to be on in period one. I didn't know I was going to be on tonight. But for a short resume of 2 Peter, what I'd like to speak on with you during the week is the reason that the Apostle Peter wrote this beautiful little epistle. Why did he write it for us? Also, I'd like to speak about maybe 2 or 3 classes on perhaps the first or just part of the 2 chapter, and then I'd like to throw it open for the rest of the week of subjects that are contained in these 3 short chapters of 2 Peter, verses that are contained therein that you might like me to speak on. And this is what I had in mind for this following week. I'd like to have it more or less your class, and I would answer your questions in the last 2 or 3 classes on this subject of 2 Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Welshman. We would also like to ask our brother Charles DiLiberto to come forth and tell us what his class will be about. He will also be teaching the first period.
The topic for our class will be From Gethsemane to Golgotha. Those of you who were in our class last year remember that we took a very detailed account of the events that preceded Gethsemane to Golgotha, namely the evening that Jesus spent with his disciples in that upper room. There was a man who was present at most of the scenes that took place during this short period of time. He was not a Christian. He was not a follower of Christ. He was a member of the Roman legions. He was a captain or a centurion, if you will. And he witnessed many of the events that took place on this day. And so overcome and so awestruck was he by the things that he witnessed after seeing thousands, perhaps, of people being put under the heel of the Roman Empire, the might of the Roman Empire, perhaps seeing hundreds of people crucified before who may have spit out at the captors, cursed them, and so forth, witnessed an entirely different scene. And so touched was he that he was able to exclaim at the end of the day, truly, this man was the Son of God. These are the events that we will discuss in this class. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother DiLiberto. We will now ask Brother Jerry Helm to come forth and tell us about his class.
I'd like to ask if there's anyone in this room who has ever been afraid. Would you raise your hand, please? Afraid, frightened. How many of you feel that you have some faith? Well, the subject we've chosen for our class is fear and faith. We want to try to discuss the emotional and rational sides of human nature. We are emotional creatures, but God has made us capable of thinking. He's made us capable of rationality. If we weren't capable of being rational, then we couldn't look into God's Word and learn from it. We want to consider fear as a state of mind. but also as an emotion. We want to consider faith also as a state of mind, but much, much more than simply an emotion. We want to talk about rational fears, irrational fears, the kinds of anxieties which can trouble us, in which we have to expect more and more as the time of the end approaches, the time of our Lord's return. We'd like to consider the ways in which a scripturally based faith can help us overcome our fears. And this begins with the fear of the Lord. As it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. These are some of the things that we'd like to consider this week.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Next, we would like to ask our brother George Stranger to come forth and tell us about his class. He will be teaching period two.
I see that I'm up there for Acts. I understand that there was an English brother recently at the Canadian Bible School who went through the entire 28 chapters and even summarized it in 5 50-minute sessions. I know that Brother John Carter did a similar thing in the middle 60s at Wilbraham Bible School. But I'm a Southerner, and I don't do things quite that quickly. I hope to get through about 8 to 12 chapters in a sort of a narrative essay of the Acts of the Apostles, which is, of course, a misnomer. I'll do 12 if I'm nervous and 8 if I get relaxed, Lord willing.
Thank you, Brother Trainer. Brother Charles Dayton will be teaching a class both the second and the third period. We would now like to ask Brother Dayton to come forward and tell us about his class, please. You notice I said that rather softly. I haven't seen Brother Dayton. Brother Ned tells us that he was at the airport to meet Brother Dayton, but he was unable to find him. And has anyone heard from Brother Dayton? Well, maybe he's made it to Conway. Anyway, we hope. Seriously, we haven't heard from him. And he is scheduled to teach a class both the second and the third period. Well, we will have to go on then without him tonight, and we will now ask our brother Norman Sweeney to come forward and tell us about his class. He will also be teaching the second period.
I will go over the same material this year that I did last year. So those of you that were in my class last year, I would advise you to take another class this year. The title of the class is Living the Truth, and it's taken from the title of a pamphlet by that title, and it's published by the Christadelphian Bible Mission. In it, 11 topics are considered via 75 propositions, each supported by listed scriptural references. Each class member will be given a copy, and the class will consist of exhortative lectures for the first 5 lectures, and the last class will be presented by the members themselves. On Monday, the class will be divided into several equal teams, each led by an exhorting brother. These teams will be asked to arrange their own sessions throughout the week to choose and discuss a topic or proposition they feel vital to living the truth. Their leaders will distill the essence of these deliberations in several short exhortations that will comprise Saturday's class.
Thank you, Brother Sweeney. We will now ask Brother Leonard Williams to come forth and tell us about his class. He will be teaching the third period.
Well, I don't suppose it will come as any great surprise to anyone that the subject of my class is the book of Daniel. It has been for so long that I can't even remember anymore. But somehow I've never gotten bored with the subject, because Daniel presents so many different things, and those of you who have been there before have heard some of these different things that are covered in the book. It's not only, of course, the essential prophecies concerning the kingdoms of men that have been upon this earth and the kingdom of God that will be upon this earth, but Daniel also brings in the book so many other little mini exhortations and short lessons on all kinds of other aspects of living the Christian life and of God's truth that there's considerable room for digression, either short digression or long digression. We'll probably take all the route. It will be pretty much the class as it has been for, I don't even know how long, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, Leonard. We will now ask Brother James Washick to come forward and tell us about his class. He will also be teaching the third period.
Well, I'm sure you all know that I'm going to be bound to talk some about Israel. I want to call to your attention the witness of God in this century and the fulfillment of so many prophecies that have taken place in this century. I'm going to try and limit it to the period starting in 1897. But we are privileged, let us say, to be living in a time such as man has never lived in before. Many of us will live and die and never realize what we have missed. We'll be like the apostles after spending 3.5 years with their master. And as the brother spoke of a period of time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as the master hung on the tree, they said to themselves, "We had thought that he was the Messiah. We had thought that he was the Messiah. Now shall we look for another?" Brothers and sisters and friends of the Arkansas Christadelphian Bible School, the miracles that was performed by Jesus in the land of Palestine were very simple, insignificant, unimportant as compared to the miracles that you are seeing taking place before your very eyes this very day. The politics of the world, the unseeming things that are taking place, the very ridiculous, contradictory statements that are being made by the leaders of the world, such as, and this is being discussed throughout the world, whether or not punishment deters crime. What does Solomon say? There's so many things that are taking place today, so many prophecies that was written 2,000 and 3,000 years ago that are coming to light, standing out in full bloom before our very eyes today. And I want to spend the time, get as much out of it as we can, pointing out to you, associating these things, drawing them together, that you can see what God has said, what the prophets has written, and what is taking place before your eyes today. So that you can be thoroughly convinced, and one of the brothers before me spoke of faith, that you can have enough faith to say, the God of heaven, the God of the Jew, is God, is God. And stick with it. And not say we had believed, but something has taken our faith away.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Wasik. We have heard from the brothers who will be teaching the adult classes. We also have arranged for classes for the young people from age 13 through 21. And I would like to call on Brother Mike Wasik to come forth for a moment and tell us a little bit about his class. He will be teaching first period.
The subject of the class will be Bible background. And the purpose of the class will be to familiarize ourselves with the Bible by studying it in three different aspects. First off, we want to discuss the question of why we believe the Bible is true. We know that this is a very relevant question for the times in which we live because more effort is being expended in discrediting the Bible and in studying its truth. And as believers and defenders of the truth, we should always be prepared to go to the Bible's defense whenever its accuracy is questioned. So we hope that this study will help us prepare ourselves for this reason. And secondly, we will discuss the historical aspects of the Bible. And what we will do here is to break the Bible down into several different time periods and discuss the events of these different time periods with the aim of gaining a better understanding of the total Bible chronology. And lastly, we will discuss the prophetic aspects of the Bible. And here we will examine past prophecies, which we all generally believe have come to pass, and investigate the accuracy of their fulfillment. And using this as a basis, we will proceed to examine some of the prophecies that we look forward to being fulfilled in the near future.
Thank you, Mike. Mike will be teaching the 13 to 15-year-old group, and Brother Lewis Sage will be teaching the 16 through the 21-year-old group. We'd like to ask Brother Sage to come forth and tell us a little about his class, please.
Good evening, particularly you 16 to 21-year-olds. Brother Mike, I have the same topic as he has. Possibly we approached it in a little different manner, but it's Bible background. And we will approach this subject in three ways. Why we believe the Bible to be true. Where did we get the Bible? And how can we be sure that it came from God? How good were the copiers for both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Then we'll go into the historical and chronological aspects of the events. Incidentally, we hope to spend two days on where we got the Bible and how we can be sure it was true. One day on the historical arrangement of events, and one day on the chronological, in which we will go through the highlights of history, remembering that the Bible was written to the Jews by the Jews. We'll look into the feast days. We'll look into the time the Jews had, the lunar time. And we have charts and papers to pass out. And then, thirdly, prophecy. Since maybe one-third or one-fourth of the Bible is prophecy, history told before it will happen, we'll look at the prophecy that's happened and then prophecy that's future. Always keeping in mind where we are in God's timetable for man, and we'll present a chart with that on it so you can see just exactly where we are and how close we are to the time of the end.
Thank you, Brother Sage. For the second period for this young people group, we are going to bring both age groups together and have one class, which will be taught by our brother Ted Farah. I'd like to ask Brother Ted to come forward and tell us a little bit about his class, please.
About a year ago, I was talking with a brother who does a lot of work with teenage children of Christadelphian parents. He had returned from a teaching session where a group of these young adults were assembled, And the schedule was that there were three classes in the morning, from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11, and from 11 to 12. And these students were very attentive and listened very attentively to these teachers, teach them about the Bible. And the teachers were very pleased that everything was going fine. The group broke up at 12 o'clock and lunch was to be served about 12:20. So there was about 20 minutes where the group were assembled on kind of an area, and the teacher was able to sort of intermingle with some of the students and sort of overhear what they were talking about. He was telling me that he was utterly appalled at the language, the profanity, the swearing, what they were talking about during this 20 minutes. He just could not believe his ears. Never mind what was happening after dark. He was asking me, what do you think's wrong? What's going on anyway? Well, I didn't know any better than he did, but I was also appalled that this would happen. And I had lunch with him about a month later, and I said, you know, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and I think you have to admit that when you have a situation like that prevail, you've got on your hands, and I may as well tell you in plain English, a group of little atheists. People who have never had the fear of God enter their mind at all. In other words, it's all a veneer up to that point. So what do you think of that? He says, you know something? I think you're right. That doesn't shock me. I think you're right. So when I was asked to have a few minutes each day with this group in Arkansas, I thought I would address myself to the task of, not unlike what the other two men are going to do, deal with what used to be called Christian evidences or Christian apologetics. In other words, to give young people a reason why we think we have the truth and why we believe that this book is the word of the living God and is to be feared, who is to be feared and obeyed. And so we're going to devote our attention to giving some evidence. We're going to deal a little bit with the theory of evolution. We're going to talk something of archaeology. We're going to talk something about the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. We're also going to touch on one or two phases of fulfilled prophecy to show you that the reason we believe this book to be the Word of God isn't some phony thing, but it's for real. We have solid reasons why we believe the way we do. And we're going to try in these few sessions to convey some of that to those who wish to know about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Farah. The third period for the young people, Brother Mark DiLiberto will be teaching the 13 to 15-year-old group. We would like to ask Brother Mark to come forward, please.
I just want to say one thing about my class. You could be guaranteed that I didn't have much time to prepare for it. We're going to talk about Timothy. I believe that the young people today can't relate or believe they can't relate to what the Bible says. And we're going to look at Timothy because I believe Timothy was given very good and very practical advice as a young person. And I believe the 13 to 15-year-old age group can relate to many of the principles and many of the things that is discussed in Timothy. So basically, we're going to be dealing with both 1st and 2nd Timothy and looking at them to find out how we can relate some of the things that Timothy was told to our own lives.
Thank you, Mark. Brother Mike Coode will be teaching the other young people's group that third period. We'll ask Brother Mike to come forward, please.
Brother Robert has so graciously read the first verse of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes for me, so I won't have to read it. But that is the object of this class, is that the youth might remember their maker in those days. The first few periods will be primarily concerned with the Word, concerned with learning what the Word is. And I think that Brother Mark and myself are going to be concerned with living the truth before you maybe come into the truth. And we see from examining the Scripture that there is a challenge given us by Christ to search out God and His Word. And there is a goal. And we all know that within the age group of 16 to 21, those of us that have gone through it, me recently, that there's a lot of challenges. And we want to examine one that should be foremost maybe in our minds. Because this age group gaps between childhood and adulthood. And that's a difficult period, we all know. And we want to see maybe how that we might prepare ourselves using the Word, see how the Scriptures inspire us to use that Word to bring us to salvation and maybe others.
Thank you, Brother Mike. I noticed Brother Lyman Miner sighed quite a sigh of relief a few moments ago when Brother Charles Dayton walked into the tabernacle. If we may, we would like to ask Brother Dayton at this time to come forward and tell us a little bit about his class. Remember, Brother Dayton will be teaching Period 2 and Period 3.
Oh, Brother Miller and all of Temple, I'm glad I'm here. Just arrived. In the two periods, shall we say, last year before I left, Brother Roger Brown said to me, he says, what about... dealing with, course, two periods and fundamentals. So I said, okay, I'll think about it, which I did. And I've split it up into a variety of things, and some of them are, shall I say, fundamentals, and I trust that some will be something a little bit more than fundamentals, an extension of fundamentals. We, according to our notes, deal on giving a little bit of the history of the Bible as a book, not too much, but a little, dealing with the covenant, the development of the covenant of promise, and the development and its various phases of the kingdom of God. Also, the law of Moses, or rather the Ten Commandments, analyzing them somewhat, and in degree, getting a present-day application to the basis of the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of Exodus and the start of where they're restated in Deuteronomy. Also, to take a look at the different altar offerings that the children of Israel were called upon to do, and to get to see if we can find out or present in any case thoughts on their moral application to the nation of Israel when they were given and during their existence as a nation. Also, of course, getting a little on the types. There are two angles one can do that. We have two books on the Law of Moses, that is, on certain aspects of it. One is to give the application as pertaining to the future, and that there was these things were given to the nation of Israel for 1,500 years, and they would no doubt have a moral application of their living during that time. Then, of course, there are the feasts, and also there's quite a lot that I submit is interesting material as to how they were enacted at the time of Christ. Also, the matter of the development of the church and that which might be termed before the church, that is, before Pentecost and after, dealing, of course, with such subjects as inheritance, baptism, priesthood, etc.
Thank you, Brother Dayton. We're real happy to see you.